I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that change lives forever. Hello, my friends. Welcome to The Life Shift podcast. I am here with a new, hopefully a new friend, Rob Cressy. And he is a personal growth coach, a podcaster, an all-around, I would say, super enthusiastic individual from what I've heard on your podcast. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, Matt. I'm super excited to be jamming with you.
Hey. I'm looking forward to the conversation because you have, we don't talk too much, just as a disclosure to everyone else that's listening to the Life Shift podcast. I only ask a single question when I kind of vetting guests, I guess, for the show, because I don't want to know too much, because my goal is to really have a candid conversation about these pivotal moments that changed lives forever. And so if I know too much, then I kind of start creating these thoughts in my head. So I'm excited to hear about your story. I did read a little bit about one of your pivotal moments, because you do have that on your website and you have a podcast about it. So I know a little bit, but fortunately, that was a while ago. So I'm excited to hear it today, too, because I think there's a lot of positivity that comes from your story. And when I hear from guests, it's like, sure, the pivotal moment is really interesting to hear, but it's what people do with it that inspires them and walks away. So again, I appreciate you being here.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share.
Yeah. So why don't we just jump right in and you can kind of give us, I mean, if you can paint the picture. I know you have two pretty pivotal moments in your lives that changed your human experience, if you will. So maybe paint the picture before that first one so we can just get an idea of who Rob was before that first one.
Yeah, so to paint the picture, my dream leaving college, I had a degree in marketing from Miami of Ohio University. And my dream was to work for an ad agency and be creative and brainstorm and come up with ideas. I'm like, boom, I'm going to live this creative life. And unfortunately for me, I was unemployed for a year and a half after graduating college, lived off my credit card, and I was dead broke. And when I finally scratched and clawed and got a job, it was at a Fifth Third Bank call center, slinging home equity loans, making $10 an hour in a cube farm with a computer with no internet and no email. That was my reality.
So it was your dream.
Yeah, exactly. And while I was thankful to be making $10 an hour, not $0 an hour, it was the opposite of what I wanted to do. But that was my entry point into inside sales. A lot of people in marketing, they get into inside sales because everybody will hire someone for sales. And over the next decade of my life, I moved jobs to a job that was a closer commute or paid more money. And that got me into the online advertising world. And eventually, I got really good at it. And I made a lot of money. I got to the point where you can be really good at something and make a crap ton of money and not love doing it. And for me, that was me for doing this for a decade. And all while this is going on, my dream was to work in sports and be a creator full time. And I'd started various sports blogs on my own, and I would write for free because all I wanted to do was talk about sports for a living. And I finally got to a point where I said, I would regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't give it a shot at making my dreams happen. So what I did is I cut the cord, I burned the boats, I left my multiple six-figure ad sales job to go all in on living my dream of being a full-time creator and working in sports.
Wow. Well, first off, I can completely relate to the feeling of unfulfillment, right? Of, I think, the one time in my life where I was probably the most miserable as an adult was the time when I was making the most money that I had ever made. I was literally just like going home and I would just go to bed because I didn't want to be awake anymore, because that meant thinking about work. And so I think there's something to be said, and maybe it's the idea of being a creative that it's almost like soul sucking because you're doing everything that you don't want to do in that experience.
Yeah, because you have so much potential inside of you that you are living by default. And this is just sort of how things go. And you're like, man, I would do anything to do what I love, what I'm really good at, or what I know I can be good at. And so often you just don't see that you have the opportunity for it to make that happen until you say, I'm no longer living this way. I am going to do what I am born to do.
Yeah. And I think the benefit of the way that you were kind of forced into doing that, though, is that you learn, you probably learned a lot of things that helped you move past that, right? I mean, the skills that you learned in those jobs working your way up, did they serve you in your next phase?
They did, because that's the lens that you create for yourself. Anything can serve you if you choose for it to serve you. Of course, having a background in sales for a decade, very valuable. But you know what the number one thing that I learned from it? I learned what I don't want to do with my life. And there is no thing that is more valuable than learning what you don't want. And for me, I know what it is like to live for a decade doing the opposite of what you want to do. So I'm willing to do everything in my power to not do that, which is where this pivotal moment happens. I'm like, I am no longer living that way. Yes, it's comfortable. Yes, you make a ton of money, but to those things, I don't care. That does not matter to me. And that's very contrarian to the way this world works, because so often we like to feel comfortable. We like to make a crap ton of money. And you know what? We're willing to put up with things because we're safe and it's easy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, growing up, I would assume we're close to similar generations that, I mean, I think that was always what we were trained to do growing up, right? We were supposed to graduate high school, and then we were supposed to go to college, whether we knew what we wanted to do or not. And we were to graduate, get a great job, make money, get promoted, make more money, bigger, better, faster, more. Like, that was our generation. And I think things are changing now with people, you know, kind of leaning into the things that bring them joy and kind of trying to find a career in their passion, more so than when I went to college.
100%. And this can actually move this forward, because at the time, the last job that I had was at a company called legacy.com, which was the largest online obituary website in the United States. Why in the world would you voluntarily choose to sell advertising on an obituary website? Well, the answer for me was I was very good at what I did. And up until that point, no one had successfully sold advertising on the website. From a digital side of things. So I went in there and I was like, listen, if I can improve this at all, one, I'm going to make a ton of money for them, which means I'm going to make a ton of money for myself. And 2.5 years later, I did exactly what I said I was going to do. So boom. And I said to myself, if I can do this, I can literally do anything in the world. I just sold advertising on an obituary website for 2.5 years. I can do anything, which means to what you just said, leaning into what brings you joy and passion. So now that I've done the hardest, probably least sexy thing ever, I am going to do the complete opposite. And I went and I started a company called Bacon Sports. And my dream was to get paid to talk about sports for a living. So what did I do? I taught myself podcasting and video and writing and social media marketing and branding and community building and throwing events. And I did literally what you would do if you could do anything you wanted in the world. And that's what I did for my life. And just because I'm doing what I love and it's all fun and joyful doesn't mean that it's easy. Because guess what? I went back to zero. So now everything is on me. And this is where the life shift happens. So when I was doing my digital ad sales, I was the work hard, play hard, party bro. And quite frankly, I probably wasn't the work hard, because I was writing my sports blogs on the side during work, and sort of, I was so good at what I did, I could almost autopilot my regular job and do my passion at the same time. And that's where the, oh man, I would just love to do this full time came from. But I was someone who had not invested in personal growth and development. One of the things that I did is I audited the success habits of the most successful people, the people that I aspired to be like and do things like. And these narratives would come up over and over and over again. And it was, the average CEO reads 60 books a year. And I'm like, crap, I'm reading zero. Think I want to do something about this. And when you're at zero, everything is on you now. So it goes from, oh my God, everything's on me, to, oh my God, everything's on me now. So you can change sort of the way that that is. And two things happened that changed my life when I was back at zero. Number one, I became self-aware. So when you're at zero, you're like, all right, everything's on me. And this is where the sort of the question changes, the I'm Ron Burgundy. Like it shifts right there where you're like, oh, it's a problem to an opportunity. No one's going to tell me when to wake up, what to eat, when to go to the gym, what to read, who to call, what to do. So now I started to realize everything was an opportunity for me. So I created this like micro focus mindset where I was so intentional. I was like, do all these little areas of my life I got to design, and boom. And I didn't learn this until years later, but this is sort of fundamental to the way that I coach and create. And it is lifestyle by design, live by design, not by default. Everything I do in my life now, a decade later, is by design. I lived by default for a decade. And then the number two thing that happened, hey, I'm reading zero books. I should get on that. Just by adding that simple habit of reading books, it adopted a growth mindset for myself. So now the world went from black and white to color and my mind exploded. I'm self-aware and now I have a growth mindset. And the growth mindset says, I am not stuck in this position and I can make things better every single day. So my goal every day for the last 12 plus years has been to make today better than yesterday. And the way that I do that is by reading for 30 minutes first thing in the morning, because by design, if I learn something, then I'm better today than I was yesterday. And once that happened, boom, here comes the rocket ship of personal growth. Doesn't mean business became a rocket ship. Rob became a rocket ship, like Neo in the Matrix when he learns that he can learn anything that he wants. That's what I adopted. Then I became self-aware. That completely changed my life. I am a different human because of it.
Yeah, you know, and self-awareness comes up a lot in these conversations. And a lot of the conversations, the pivotal moment is more like, for me, it was when my mom died when I was 8. Like that was an external force that forced my life to a completely different thing. But and it took me like 20 years to grieve her. And what helped me get past that was self-awareness, like the ability to completely understand the situation that I'm in, the control that I have, the ability to, like you said, to grow from said experience. And so it's interesting to hear your approach, because the logical part of my brain as I listen to it is overwhelmed. Did you have any moments of being overwhelmed with, okay, everything's on me, but also there's 400,000 things that I want to do now. How do I prioritize?
Yes, a million times. And this is what I always had to remind myself of. This is what I signed up for. It is. I can't complain that I have so many options and so many things to do and business is hard and when's revenue coming in and why is no one getting back to me when this is what I signed up for. Because the alternative is selling obituary advertising or working in a call center in a cube farm. So this is why so few people take the path that I have, because it's super hard, because there's no manual and playbook. No one's there to support you or be, yeah, yes, you can create mentors and friends and advisors and all of this stuff. At the end of the day, it's you versus you. And your ability to deal with this and create within it. And it's why for me, knowing that the majority of entrepreneurs and business owners fail at some insane rate year by year, I was like, I'm going to specialize in overcoming adversity in challenges, in mindset. Why? Because it is the thing that'll stop me from not being the person that I want to be. Because if I give up, my dream is done. If I quit, my dream is done. If insert any self-limiting belief or fear, my dream is done. Therefore, when challenges are going to happen, which by design is the path that I chose, I want to be someone who says, I'm not only going to see this challenge, I am going to make it better for myself.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that stems to, or what I think of is intention. Like you said, just like everything moving forward is with intention and taking the next best step. I mean, part of me is very compartmentalized and as far as like the activities that I do on a regular basis and those, you know, like what I want to do next, it's just the next best step for me. So I can relate to that, but it sounds like, I mean, I don't think I could be you. Maybe I could, but in that sense, that growth path that you took is super inspiring because it sounds like one thing pushed you to do the next thing. And then the next thing, you know, like, was it that exponential growth because of those choices that you were making?
100%. So it's building blocks. And what I always say, and there's a quote that I love, the bigger the dreams, the deeper the foundation. The foundation that I have been building for what I am building is insanely massive because my dreams and goals are insanely massive and everything stacks on top of each other. So the person that you are listening to or watching right now is not who I was 12 years ago or 10 years ago or 9 years ago or 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, because every day it builds on top of each other. There's new insights and new learning. And it's also why we hire coaches so that we can accelerate the rate in which we grow through somebody else's experience, what they have seen and what they've experienced to help us create who we want to be. And Matt, I would never want you to be the exact person that I was, but what I want to do is to show you what is possible for yourself. So everything that I've done, or at least with this conversation, it's all about the inside, the mindset, the heart set, and you can be anything that you want to be. So all of these things are invisible skills. They're thoughts. There's my way of controlling the story and the narrative that I tell myself. So I love to teach and coach the tools, the perspectives, the mindsets, the habits, the routines, the ways of being to create yourself as the best version of yourself so that you can create anything that you want in your life. It's not become Rob. It becomes, here's your tool belt. Now go do whatever Matt wants to do.
Did you have any elements of this version of Rob, like in school as a kid? Like, do you feel like you've always been a none, really?
This version of me from the personal growth side of things was never there. The thing that was there is the creative side of me.
Okay.
Even as a kid, I loved to draw and do cartoons and I was artistic. I loved sports. So it's natural that what I leaned into ended up being creative and for a large part of this sports oriented. So I followed my passions, but I think it would be challenging for anyone to, well, maybe not anyone, like I wasn't an exceptional student in college. I'll certainly say that. I enjoyed having fun in college more than I did studying. So I'm not a bookworm or somebody who spent any time in the library. Whereas the person I am now, I read more books than 99.9999% of people in the world. But if you were to see me 12 years ago, no shred of this existed.
That's so interesting. Yeah. And this pivotal moment was very internal, right? Because you made all these choices intentionally moving forward. And then I know we hinted at you having like this second pivotal moment. So as you're going through this journey, the next one is kind of an external force, right? That kind of shifted a little bit more. Maybe you can give us a little bit about that.
It's a great transition because the building block concept saved my life. And I'll give the Cliff Notes version. So I am athletic. I love sports. I've played everything that there is. And I decided to run a marathon, the DC marathon, and maybe this is 8 years ago, let's call it. And I actually gave it to my wife as a Christmas present because she had run a few marathons before. She's like, oh, I would love for you to run one with me. And even though I'd run 5Ks, 10Ks, and half marathons, and Tough Mudders, and the Urbanathlon, there's something different about a marathon. It's a different level of commitment. And it just didn't interest me. But I was like, you know what? I'll give it to my wife as a Christmas present. If I'm going to do it, might as well get double credit for this, yeah, right? So she's like, oh, excited for it. So we trained for it. And I am not... I am competitive, but internally competitive. I'm not a professional athlete, but I live my life as an athlete. So going into the marathon, I trained for this thing. Boom, my goal is to get under 4 hours. I'm sharp. I'm prepared. We get there and fast forward to mile 25 and a half, and I'm 3 miles ahead of my pace, and I can see the finish line. Boom, I'm about to add something to my life resume, major achievement. Next thing you know, I wake up and I am packed head to toe in ice in a medical tent, staring at the ceiling with medics around me saying, essentially, stay alive, Rob. That's what I snapped into. So I went from I see the finish line to the next thing I know, I'm packed head to toe in ice trying to stay alive. And all of a sudden, shit gets real, real quick where you're like, whoa. What is going on? So can't really move, like complete no idea what's going on. So, all right, good thing that I'm a self-aware person. So I'm now trying to figure out what's going on just with my eyeballs and my ears. And you're not just like, hey guys, what's going on? Like,
right.
So I find out that I passed out on the course with a body temperature of 107 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And they're trying to keep me alive because my body is overheated at the end of the marathon. So during all of this, I quickly realized this is a dire situation, as in like you can die. So I'm like, all right, snap in. So this is where my focus and self-awareness. So I'm like, let's use active listening. If they say to do something, do it. And all this is just happening internally in my mind. And I'm also acutely aware of if my eyes go to black, I'm probably dead. It just is. So my goal is to stay awake. Just don't go. So with all of this, all of the work that I had done leading into this that I just told you about. So I'm about this growth mindset. I'm about overcoming adversity. I'm about being an entrepreneur and dealing with challenges. So I'm like, all right, what can I do to stay alive? And I figured out if I am speaking, I'm not dead, right? If you can, so I'm like, all right, just talk, even though I'm packed head to toe in ice, just no idea what's going on. So I'm like, all right, well, what can I even think of? And all of course, I'm just telling you what I'm thinking after the fact. And I'm from Pittsburgh and I'm a Steelers fan. So I said to myself, I'm a Steelers fan. The Steelers are playing the Raiders. And I'm just saying this over and over and over out loud. I'm speaking it into existence because I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I'm not dead. And then at some point it shifted to, I'm a fighter. I'm going to live. I'm a fighter. I'm going to live. And it changed almost like in a Braveheart manner. All right. I figured out what to keep myself alive. Now that drive inside of me, boom, I'm going to live. And I ended up living. And I credit my mindset for keeping me alive because would it have been easy to freak out? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I actually did not panic at all during this. I was not afraid because there was no time to be afraid. That when you're put into a dire situation like this, that this was the penultimate moment of everything that I'd been working on for the last 5, 7, 8 years as an entrepreneur and as a creator. For you prepare for what's difficult when it's easy. And then all of a sudden you get thrown into something that you have no idea what's going to happen. And that's where all of my training came in, and boom, I was able to keep myself alive.
It's like a proof of concept almost. I mean, most people, like you said, most people would panic. and probably, I mean, I hate to say it, but maybe even give up. And so you proved that what you had built and the mindset that you created actually could get you out of a situation that I would imagine that I would probably not make it out of. And probably had you still been working at legacy.com and that happened, different story, right?
Completely, because who knows how it would have gone down, because I wasn't that same person.
Right.
So even the fact that I was running a marathon as a high performer, like all these dominoes are falling and falling. And I only said one prayer for like 10 seconds. And then that was the end of it. It wasn't, because a lot of people are going to like really trip, because as you can imagine, it is an insane situation. You have no idea what's going on. You're just like, this is absolutely bananas. So yeah, I don't know what would have happened, but once again, I took control of the situation.
Yeah, you did.
And because of that, what it really did, and here's how the life shift happened. I was already a super happy, positive guy. It's part of my brand and who I am. And I was already about living my best life and doing what I love and being someone who helps others. But now there is no excuse humanly possible for me to not have the best day ever, every single day. So people are like, Rob, are you always like this? Do you have bad days? And the answer is, I am always like this. Why? Because number one, I'm no longer working at a Fifth Third Bank call center or slinging banner ads for an obituary website. And number two, I am not dead, because I know how quickly this can go away without you even realizing it. And it's crazy, because the near-death experience gave me the perspective of my own mortality. Mm-hmm. Most people don't like to talk about this. Oh my God, we're talking about death. I'm not afraid to die. And you know why? Because I could have just not woken up. I could, like, when I passed out on the course, 170 degree body temperature, I was then lifted by someone, no idea who, put into a medical tent. All this stuff happens. I have no recollection, no idea of it. So to me, from there to there, I was dead. And it didn't hurt me. It wasn't painful. I didn't even notice it. I would have just been dead. And then I woke up. So I realize, I don't have anything to actually fear about death, because I've already seen what it looks like and just sort of ends. And because of this, I want to live every single day as if this is the last day of my life, because you never know when it's going to be the last day of your life. So why would I ever choose anything other than the best version of me, the most positive version of me? Because one day will be the last day.
I don't even know how to respond to that, because I think so many people listening to this podcast will be like, that's not possible, right? Like, how does someone have a better day today than they had yesterday? Like, why? How is someone always so positive? But honestly, like, I can see it in this conversation and feel it, that you are genuinely this joyful and passionate about life, and I'm slightly jealous. But I also think that it's true that if you're doing these things with this growth mindset and this intentionality and set in your heart and really pursuing the things that matter to you, you can have a better day today than you had yesterday, whether that's in mind growth or if that's just in just general happiness, right? Do you find that you're happier every day, or is it just you're kind of in this great space of like, today's a great day, I can do whatever I want with it?
So we'll get extremely specific and tactical here, because I love this. To answer some of your things, as we speak right now, I look on my wall and it says, happiness is not a destination, it's a way of life. So for people to think that, oh, I will be happy when ... I buy the thing, I find the relationship, this thing happens. Got it all wrong. Happiness is a way of being for me. One of the declarations I speak out loud every single day is, I am the happiest person on earth. shining my light on everyone. It's a self-creation inside of this. And then you said today's going to be a great day, right? Well, here's the literally the simplest tip humanly possible for how to create amazing days.
Give it to me.
So the first thing that I think every single morning when I wake up, I say today is going to be a great day. And within the first 2 hours of me being up, I estimate that I say today is going to be a great day 3 to 5 times. Why? Because if you say today is going to be a great day, and you do it today, you do it tomorrow, and you do it next week, you do it next month, you do it next year, and you do it for a decade, and you do it for 50 years. Do you think if you said that every day for 50 years, you would have more great days?
Most likely.
Of course. It just makes complete sense. And the world is designed to throw crap at you. Fear, self-limiting beliefs, comparison. They want you to be fearful and not be the best version of yourself. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to drip positivity right out of the gate to myself. You know how much money that costs me? $0. You know how many seconds it takes me? 2 seconds of my life. So you're telling me I can spend between 6 and 10 seconds of my life saying today is going to be a great day a few times and I'm going to have more great days? You are 100% correct. So what this comes down to now is process and design. If you want to be happier, let's design it. So what does that look like? And this is straight out of my coaching Bible. This is what I do. This is what I live. This is what I coach. The majority of the world lives by default. They wake up every single day. They look at their phone. They turn on the news. They jump on social media. They check email. They check Slack. They go to work. They might not like it. They might like it. They get paid a lot or a little. They go home and they do the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. And sometimes life can be good. Sometimes life can be bad, but they have no process or design to what they're doing. Sound familiar?
Yes, sure does.
Or we can choose to create the story we tell ourselves. So how do you show up as the happiest person on earth every single day? By creating a process. And the example that I give is, let's think about yourself as a computer. And for a computer, when you turn it on to be the best version of a computer, so it does the internet, it does video, it does all of those things. It has a boot sequence that goes, run this program, run this program, run this program, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Cool. We are now a MacBook Pro, and this works like a computer is supposed to work, right? Cool. So imagine thinking about yourself and creating the best version of yourself every single day, the same way you would a computer booting up. All right, for Rob and Matt to show up as the best version of ourselves every single day, what are the programs that we get to run that will create the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, the stories in ourselves? So this is where the habits, the routines, and the mindsets come in. So boom, first thing I do is read for 30 minutes every single morning. And I drip gratitude. I say 3 things that I'm thankful for when I'm brushing my teeth. And I meditate for 5 minutes. And then I do some journaling for 10 minutes where I just get whatever's in my head out of my head. And I'm not on my phone. I don't turn on the TV. And then I've got a series of documents that say, this is the best version of Rob. And I speak it out loud. And the first thing it says, I am infinite love. And I speak it. And then I feel it. And then I visualize it. And I visualize just infinite love coming from me. I love that I get to talk with Matt today. I love my family. I love the opportunity that is there today. Infinite love courses through me. Boom, I've now activated that. Next, I'm constant creation of who I am. And I think to myself, I'm in charge of creating my lens for the world and how I show up in my actions. And I'm in charge of all of this. Boom, and I go through a series of all of these things. And I speak it every single day. Because this is the power of consistency. And if you haven't read the book, The Power of Consistency by Weldon Long, I highly recommend it. It changed my life. And you know what it says? Most people just don't spend enough time going over their dreams so they never make their dreams happen. Huh. It's like if you wanted a red Ferrari, who do you think is more likely to have it? Somebody who thinks about it once a year or once every 5 years, or the person who looks at the picture of the red Ferrari and visualizes touching the leather and the stitching and putting the key in and hearing the vroom, all of that, and they do it every single day. The exact same process we can create for ourselves. And Matt, when you said, I don't know if I could ever be like you, you can be the best version of Matt by creating the boot sequence that says, number one, what is the most powerful version of Matt look like? What would I love? And you're like, all right, well, I would love this and I am this. Boom, you can now design it. Most people don't spend 2 seconds thinking about what the best version of themselves looks like.
It's true.
So God forbid ever creating the process for making that happen. And I get so passionate about this because I know what it is like, one, to have this, two, to not have this. And now that I have this, there is no way possible I would ever not have this. And I want to give this to everybody.
No, and do you think that what stops most people from doing that is fear? What do you think stops most people? No?
Well, fear is in there, but fear would make you believe that somebody actually wants this in the first place. Mm. And maybe this will answer your question. Somebody asked me on a podcast, Rob, do you think that people struggle with self-awareness? And you know what I said? No, because if you're not self-aware, you're not sitting there being like, oh my God, I'm not self-aware right now. I want to be really self-aware, like right. You would with your finances. If you don't have money, you're like, oh my God, I feel broke. I'm not buying things. You feel that, but people don't feel a lack of self-awareness. Therefore, what stops people is this isn't even a thing for them because they're not on this frequency. They're not on this wavelength. And if you wanted it, you would do it. And if you say you want it, but you don't do it, you don't actually want it. So this is the difference between intention and nothing. You got to be intentional about everything that you do. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I kind of relate it to a little bit of, I mean, the word or the term gets thrown around a lot is imposter syndrome. And it's kind of in a similar sense of the people that say they have or say they face imposter syndrome are aware of it, right? And the people that are super confident and whatever, they don't face it because it's not even in their spatial awareness of a blockage, if you will. They just jump right in and do whatever they need to do, when really the people that face it probably could do it.
Anybody can do any of this stuff because these are all just thoughts and stories.
You're right.
Right? So if it's a story in your head,
you think it's a conditioning?
It's a conditioning. It's a society. It's media. It's culture. So once again, none of this stuff is taught anywhere. All through all of our years of college. And how do I know? Because it took me 30 years of my life before I finally said, oh, wait a second, there's a different way that I can live. So the system doesn't teach this. So now this is a systemic thing, happens everywhere in our culture. And then we have the media, which has different narratives and agendas that are designed to make money, not to make you the best version of yourself. And we have algorithms on social media, which are designed to make you stay on them, feel fear, comparison, lack, insert everything there.
Yeah.
So the challenge is the world is actually designed for you to not be this, which is why this is a 1% of a 1% mindset and conversation we're having right now. And when you say it's not in your awareness, that is why I exist. Mm. Because I'm about this life and I help people who want this life and say, Rob, I am raising my hand. I want what you have. I don't want to be you, but I want freedom, happiness, and a life I love. Great. Let's build this and let's start from what would you love to create? I would love to wake up happy every single day. Cool. What does your current process look like? I don't have one. Great. Let's start building that. Tell me one thing about yourself that you love and you know to be true that is powerful about yourself. And you're like, I'm an amazing friend. Great. Every single day we're going to wake up and you're going to say, I'm an amazing friend. And then we're going to say, all right, Matt, tell me something else you know that's true about yourself. And you're like, I am abundantly generous. Cool. I'm an amazing friend. I'm abundantly generous. You know what we're not thinking about? I'm a piece of crap. The world is blah, blah, blah. We've redesigned and re-engineered the way that we think. The way that you think creates your actions. The way that you take action creates your results.
It's a lot to process. My next question really is, what if you had just finished that marathon? Do you think there's a different, do you think there would be, like, what would that version of Rob look like compared to this current version with your awareness of that moment and kind of fighting to stick around?
I would still be kicking ass. I would still be amazing. I would just have a different, I wouldn't have that in my tool belt. Maybe that's the way that I would say it, because here's the bow on this story. So for the next 8 years, I think it's been after that marathon, even though I'm athletic, I'm happy, successful, all that stuff, doesn't mean that I don't have bad days or negative thoughts or things that self-limit belief me or things that are self-limiting that I believe. And one of them was around not finishing the marathon. So if someone would ask, Rob, have you ever run a marathon? There's always this little asterisk that was there. Yeah, I ran a marathon. Yes, I trained for it. No, I didn't finish, and insert near-death experience story. And it didn't serve me. It was there. And my goal was never to run multiple marathons. It was like a Christmas gift for my wife.
Never.
So like the fact that it didn't end the way that I wanted it to, it wasn't like, boom, let's go and do this again. Like I would have other things. It just wasn't what I like to do other stuff. But as I grew as a high performer and started doing a variety of other things, I realized I want to change the story. So what would have been a month and a half ago, I ran the Pittsburgh Marathon and I called it my redemption story. And I did so because I wanted to change the narrative in my head as it relates to running a marathon. I wanted to remove the asterisk so that if anybody ever asks, have you run a marathon? The answer is yes. It's not yes, but boom, it is yes. So for me, what's different? I never would have had that full circle story, which I'm telling you right now. What amazing things have happened? Yes, but I would not have had the same perspective. And I still would be this excited and this happy because I was about this life, but it gave me a uniqueness to my story that's in my tool belt that I can use to help others.
And it just adds another layer of character, I guess, is probably maybe the best word for it. I think it's a super interesting story because so many there are a lot of people that have faced near death things or life altering accidents of some sort, and we don't all do what you did with it, right? Sometimes it takes us years to move past it, or we never move past it. And so hearing your story and then also like kind of buttoning it up by doing another marathon, good for you. I did a half marathon and frankly that was plenty. I trained in Florida and ran it in Portland, which is a little bit hillier than here in Florida and a little bit colder. But anyway, you went in and you changed your story. A lot of people be like, yes, I tried and didn't finish and here's what happened and that's it. But you knew something. Was it always just like nagging at you, or is it just you wanted to close that loop?
A little of everything. That as a high performer and athlete and somebody who's just running and doing these other things, when I looked at my life resume, I didn't want to go the rest of my life with that asterisk being there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Let's just remove this because it's going to be there. It's going to be there forever. And I don't want that there forever. And this is the maturation of who I am, where I seek challenge, I commit. And you said, we don't all do what I did with it. And you know what the perspective is that can help everyone? Yeah, because this is just a one of one journey. It's me versus me. Whereas the majority of people think this is a, not even a me versus everyone, because everybody doesn't think of it as what me versus me. They don't even think about it.
It's comparative.
Oh, keeping up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. So when you realize this is a one of one and you can design this and do whatever you want, even if you are in a job right now that you like or you don't like, you're choosing to do this. Our entire life is just choice. Might as well design those choices to some things that we would love to do.
For sure, man. It's a lot of inspiration coming out of your mouth. And it has me thinking, and probably people listening to the podcast thinking about how we can start to really truthfully design what we deserve and what we want out of this life. If you could go back and talk to the version of you that just graduated college, struggling to find a job, is there anything that this Rob could tell him, or would you let him go through all the motions so that you could be who you are now?
Well, one, I would allow him to go through all of the stuff that I did now, because I love where I am right now. It's the best life ever. So it's the whole butterfly effect. That being said, if I were to go back and give advice to that person, I think some things that I would say is, number one, hire coaches sooner, because they accelerate the speed of growth. And I think about, for the longest time, I didn't have coaches until I had my first one. And I remember paying $2,000 or $3,000 for a brand coach. And I was legitimately nervous because I'd never done it before. And anyone who's hiring their first coach knows what this is like. You're living in fear and lack and not enough. What if this doesn't work? What if he or she is not who they say they're going to be? What if all of a sudden I go bankrupt from all of this stuff? Blah, 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 blah. All a bunch of garbage. The second I made that commitment, I was now a person who pays for coaching. It completely changed my life. I felt somebody who coached me and supported me and loved me and wanted the best version of me. And since that moment, $3,000 turns to $5,000, turns to $10,000, turns to $12,000 for coaches, because I can get to where I want to go faster by the people who have already done it. And I want to be around other people who are about this life. So you're consistently leveling up. And this isn't about the money. This is about the commitment to myself. I am someone who is willing to invest in myself. So really, the high level answer to this is, invest in myself sooner. It took me 10 years out of college before I started investing in myself. I could only imagine a kid graduating college right now with access to this conversation right now, to coaching programs, to books, to podcasts, to Audible. Holy smokes, man. Right. Like, you could be an entrepreneur at the age of 21 and do amazing things. This was nowhere on my radar back then, because this didn't even exist back then. We didn't have access to podcasts and learning. It was like, I finally found Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that book. And that was my first book that I read. Like, that's how this happens. Now, someone could just start working with me immediately and be like, congratulations. Boom, let's accelerate. Let's take 10 years off of what you have to grow.
I mean, back then, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was on like an 8 cassette tape audio book.
Right.
Yeah, I remember those days. I appreciate you being on this show, because your story is really cool, but I think you've given us a lot of tangible takeaways that we can use daily, even if it's as simple as when we wake up, we're speaking things into existence that matter and will help us have that best day ever, which is the name of your podcast, right? Best day ever.
It is crazy. It is. Concept. How do you, oh, it's best year ever is the name
best
of the podcast.
Best year ever. Okay.
So how do you create your best year ever? You have your best month ever, week ever, day ever, hour ever, moment ever, because best year ever is actually a lifestyle, a mindset, and a way of being. And Matt, actually, I didn't get a chance to put the button on the question that you asked of how is every day the best day of your life?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is because all we can do is be present in this moment.
Right.
We can't do anything about the past, and the future hasn't happened yet, right? So even when you get married, or you have kids, or you finish a marathon, Those achievements happened in the past, but you are now that person who has lived that, and all you have is this moment. So right now, this is my best moment ever because I'm Rob, who is married, who has a child, who has run the marathon, who has also not finished the marathon, and all that leads up to who I am right now. So I can only choose, is this my best moment ever, or anything else isn't going to serve me?
We can all learn a lot from this conversation. I think where society has really conditioned us to feel other ways. And I hope that anyone listening will take some of your advice and reach out to you and follow you. We're going to share some of your links and how to connect with you if they so desire. In interest of time, I'm going to say thank you for being a part of this. I think your life shifts are different than the other ones that are shared on this story, but what you've done with them is super inspiring. So I appreciate you just even giving me the moment to hear all this and changing probably my life from this moment forward.
Well, thank you, Matt. That gives me chills and it makes me happy because I've got a goal of helping 10 million people. And I truly want to give this to others to show them what is possible for themselves. So thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, no problem. And if you're listening to the Life Shift podcast right now, please check out the links in the show notes for Rob and connect with him. I'm sure that you will learn something new and find ways to better your life and have a best year ever. I'll say it correctly this time. So until next time, we'll see you next week. And I appreciate you, Rob. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that change lives forever. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. For more information about how you can support The Life Shift podcast, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com. See you next time.